There we go. My name is Stephanie LaHart. I am 47 years old. Today is July 14th, 2018, and I am going to be telling you my story of how I got to LA, because I think it's a fascinating story, and as I like to tell my friends, I'm one of the most interesting people that I know. So I grew up in Philadelphia, but I have lived the past 25 years in Los Angeles. And I still get questioned when I go back to Philadelphia by people from my old neighborhood. They say, do you like it? Do you think you'll stay there? And I say, well, 25 years says yes, I think I do like it. And I will probably stay here. Because for me, Los Angeles was the answer to a question that I didn't know how to ask. And it really has become the place where I was able to make my dreams come true and have dreams that I didn't know were possible growing up on the East Coast. So for me, the story of LA, if you ask my mom, started when I was about 11 years old. I was maybe not even 11, I might have been younger, but my eldest cousin was getting married in Los Angeles because her sister had moved out here many years ago and then raised her family here. So her eldest child was getting married, and then my mom and I were going to go to the wedding. So we came to Los Angeles and we went to the wedding. And if you ask my mom how I ended up in Los Angeles, she will tell you, oh, Stephanie got off the plane and looked around and said, Mom, I'm going to move here. I don't recall saying that, and that might just be a wives' tale, but that's the story she tells, and it sounds pretty good, especially when you're at a cocktail party and you only have 2 minutes to keep anyone's interest. So I'm not real sure when I decided I was going to move out here, but I do remember in high school just having this ambition and this drive that I'm going to move to Los Angeles. I'm going to move there. And I would ask my parents all the time, can I go to high school there? No, you have to stay here. Well, why not? My Aunt Nancy lives in Santa Monica. Why can't I move out there? No, you have to stay. You have to go to school here. And being the middle child that I am one of the obedient children. So I would say, okay, and I would do what they would tell me. But I had this earning to come out here, and I don't really know where that started. But in high school, it got really strong. And then one day I discovered rock and roll. So for me, rock and roll was the 80s rock and roll, which if you know anything about that, was the era of the big hair bands. The boys wore makeup, they wore high heels, and I said, yes, that is the place I have to go. So throughout high school, I would watch MTV and dream every night, I've got to get to Los Angeles, I've got to get out there with the music, I've got to be a part of that scene. And I would talk to my parents about it, and again, it's like, no, you're not going there, you have to wait until you graduate. I said, fine. So I graduate high school, I said, I'm going to college in Los Angeles. No, no, you're not, they said. You're going to wait here and you're going to finish college. And again, as the obedient child, I said, okay. And again, I would spend my nights watching MTV and dreaming about going to Los Angeles and thinking, how am I going to get out there? How am I going to do it? I didn't really know anything about LA other than it was this dream city to me. I had no plans. I didn't have any money. I didn't really have a goal other than just being there. I didn't know what I was going to do when I get out of the car or off the plane. I just wanted to be there. So for years, I would just sit there and dream, and I was in college. I went to Temple University in Philadelphia, and I just kept telling people, I'm going to move to Los Angeles. Well, how are you going to do that? When are you going to do that? I had no plans. I had no idea. And then one night, I was working with my sister at a place called Nifty 50s, which is, you know, obviously a 50s diner kind of theme, and she says, hey, guess what? Jackie told me that Darren moved to Los Angeles, Darren's moving to Los Angeles. And my head nearly exploded because I was like, really? Get Darren on the phone right now. Call Jackie up, I need to talk to him. And Darren, to give you a little back history, was a guy that I dated very, very briefly in high school, and we hadn't spoken for a long time. And my sister calls up Jackie that night and gets Darren on the phone. And I say, Darren, I hear you're moving to LA. And he goes, yeah. And I said, that's awesome. So am I. And Darren was a year older than me. And he goes, when are you moving? I said, as soon as I graduate. And he said, that's great. We'll have to, you know, hook up when we're in LA. And the whole time I'm thinking, oh, we're going to do more than hook up. You're going to get me to LA. Like, I already had a plan in my mind. So Darren was leaving for LA the next month. He was going to drive across the country in his tricked out, restored VW Bug, which was the light of his life. And he was going to drive this across the country by himself. So he embarks on that trip about, you know, a month later or whatever, and I get a call in the middle of the night, and there's Darren on the phone. He literally has only been on the road for like a week or something. No, not a week. I'm sorry. It didn't take that long. Maybe a night, okay? And he's like in Ohio or something, and his poor little VW Bug has gotten a flat tire. He had some kind of mechanical problems, and he goes, you know what? I'm rethinking this. I don't think I can do this trip. And I was like, oh no, not you can do this trip, Darren. Go get it fixed. What are you talking about? I was just like, you're an idiot. Get back in that car. Because the whole time I'm thinking, if Darren doesn't get to LA, how am I getting to LA? So Darren bucks up and does whatever he has to do to the car and gets to LA. And about a week later, I ran into his mother somewhere, and she told me that he had originally called her that night saying, Mom, I'm coming home. I can't do this by myself. And she said to him, you should call Stephanie. She knew that I would not let him quit. And sure enough, Darren went out to LA and was there for an entire year before I was. And my college graduation was coming up about a month out. And I call up Darren and I said, Darren, I'm moving to LA. When are you coming to get me? And dear, dear Darren, although we had barely spoken that year, flew across the country and agreed to drive with me in my 1978 Mercury Zephyr and my hamster named Axl Rose. So we pile all my clothes up in my car. I wasn't bringing anything other than my clothes, $500, and a hamster named Axl Rose. And Darren was gracious enough to say, yes, I will drive with you, but we had to be there in 2 days because he had to go to work. So he flew in on a Thursday night, and we get in my car on a Friday morning and set off across the country in the 1978 Mercury Zephyr with the hamster in the back and all my clothes just packed into the trunk. And we drive and drive and drive. So this was back in 1992. The Los Angeles riots had just happened in May, and I had embarked on my trip in June. In fact, many of my friends and family, the joke had been that earlier spring when everything was going down in LA, well, you're too late, Stephanie, because they're going to burn the town down before you get there. And I just knew in my heart, I said, they are not going to burn it down because I am going. So we set off on our trip, and we are driving across the country. So in 1992, what you had in your car for entertainment was your radio, and if you were lucky, you had a tape drive, or you may have still had an 8-track or something like that. Your entertainment options were limited, and I don't remember exactly what cassettes I brought, because the only cassette I actually played that entire trip was Guns N' Roses' Welcome to the Jungle. I played it and played it and played it. And the agreement with me and Darren was that we would each drive a tank of gas, which was, I think at that point, maybe 2 or 3 hours. I mean, it was a Mercury Zephyr. We weren't getting good gas mileage. And we would just drive and then swap out and drive and swap out. And we couldn't stop because Darren had to be at work on Monday morning. So we just keep driving, and at some point, I'm sure it was me that started having the breakdown, but I was like, we've got to stop. I'm exhausted. And he's like, no, we got to keep moving. And then we get to Kansas, and I will remember this because I've never been back to Kansas since because of it. We hit Kansas, and if you've ever driven through, it's entirely flat. There's nothing to look at the highway, totally flat. You're kind of zoning out. And unfortunately for us, Kansas was having a torrential rainstorm. So I am doing my 3-hour drive on this flat, barren desert-like highway, and it's pouring, 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 and Axl Rose keeps singing to me, Welcome to the Jungle. And finally I break and I'm just crying. I'm like, this is horrible. We're never going to make it. And Darren turns around and says to me what I said to him a year before: get back in the car. We're not turning around now. And so we kept driving and driving. And then finally we got to, I want to say the town was called Temecula. I believe it was in New Mexico. I don't really remember, but we did stay somewhere for like 2 hours. We just pulled over into this motel. We got to sleep a little bit. I remember the motel was filthy and I didn't even care. I was like, I just couldn't wait to get back in the car and get to LA. And at this point, I was a little bit concerned about Axl Rose in my back seat, because Axl, for this entire trip, had been panting very heavily and breathing like, yeah, like there was something really wrong. And I just kept thinking, Axl, you've got to hold on. We're almost there. So we took the southern route to Los Angeles, which actually made us, I think we started driving up through maybe San Diego. It dropped us off, because I remember driving up that coast and seeing houses that were in the hills. And as we got closer to LA and I just kept seeing the palm trees, I was like, oh my God. Oh my God, it's gonna happen. And I would look back at poor little Axl Rose in the back seat and say, hold on, baby, we're almost there, we're almost there. And finally, around 5 o'clock on Sunday, we pull into Los Angeles. I am exhausted. I am the happiest I've ever been in my life. And we are starving, so we go to Raffaello's Pizza, which was, I think we went to the one that was on Sunset and like right before La Brea. And I have the most delicious pizza of my entire life, I swear. I remember eating it thinking, I've never tasted anything so amazing in my life. And as I'm eating my pizza, I look over to the table next to me and there's a guy sitting with his girlfriend and he has a gigantic blue iguana sitting on his shoulders. And I thought to Darren, I'm home. And it was just the beginning of what would become a 25-year odyssey of everything I ever thought it would be. Poor little Axl Rose, just to give you an update, he lasted the week and then he died. I think it was his job to deliver me here. And I did what anyone would do and what anyone would really want, is I buried him in the Hollywood Hills. So Axl has his final resting place. And soon after that, I got a job at a place on Sunset Boulevard called Greenblatt's Deli, which is still there and has been there since the 50s or something. And that started my whole LA odyssey. And I started working there at Greenblatt's Deli as just one of their servers. And I was only there for a month. But what happened there actually ended up affecting the rest of my life, because I met a guy there named Brian Richards. He was a customer that came in, and this was 1992, so, you know, the only way you got somebody's phone number was to write it down on a napkin, and he asked for my number, and he asked me out, and we ended up dating, and it was amazing. He was my rock and roll boyfriend, and I mention that now in the story because I ended up reconnecting with him 20 years later, and we dated again. And when I reconnected with him again, I thought to myself, LA is still everything I ever thought it would be. And it only took 3,000 miles, 2.5 days, and a hamster named Axl Rose to get me there. And that's my story. Thank you for letting me tell it.